Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
I believe if we really want to make an impact in the world, it literally comes from the things that we've learned, the stories that we've lived through, the experiences that we've had. The problem is we spend our life hiding from it and hope to God no one knows anything about it, when really our superpowers as to who we can be, the most impactful person, lie right in those experiences.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very special treat. She's a life adversity and business coach, an author, a speaker, entrepreneur, just an overall juggernaut and phenomenal human being in all facets of life. She is my dear friend, Marcia Van Winesburg. I just want you to know that this episode today for me is very special, because when I started CLS in the early stages, I collaborated with you early on, and I just felt this instant connection to you. It's almost like you're the female version of me, just like the way your mindset works, and with all the cool, articulate stuff that you say in your head, such as, and we'll dive deep into this in a moment, owning your story and the ugliest part of your story being the most beautiful part at the same time. And just all these things, you just spoke to my soul. And even though we wrapped up season one for the CLS Experience, I'd have put that on hold because I would not launch it until we got you in that season. So thank you so much for being here today. And you have my word, we will manufacture magic together.
I have no doubt. I'm so grateful to you, for you, for having me on. And yes, I agree. I think I even said it when you were on my podcast. I felt like you were the male version of me. We spoke so similar. So I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm just going to go ahead and get a little weird and just dive right in. Usually, like we'll do a little bit of a background, and so we can kind of shape a story onto how we got where we are today. But I want to be a little bit more specific. When did you really become Marcia 2.0?
Wow, that is such a great question. I mean, I've really been coaching for like 27 years in so many different facets. I think I'm going to go with this, that I mean, I launched my book 3 years ago, but when my actual job shut down last year at the beginning of COVID, I think that's when I became Marcia 2.0. I was like, okay, one day the job is done. The next day I'm like, well, you asked for more time to make this business work. So here you go. Let's just get to it. And I think I dove in with a whole next level intention and focus.
So you've been cultivating all life experiences for obviously quite some time, just like I have. But you put it all together recently in 2020, just like I did. Is it safe to say that had there not have been a pandemic, or maybe the loss of a job, or, you know, given this access free time, that we probably wouldn't be collaborating here today and you might not be where you are today, which is becoming your best self, fulfilling your destiny?
I think you nailed that on head. I really, really do. I do. I toe dipped it for a long time, and it took really a complete change of circumstances to go, let's do this. And intentions changed, energy changed, focus changed. And I danced around with it for a long time, but I'm really grateful that life gave me that chance. And I knew in 2019, as I journaled and I wrote, I just had this feeling. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew I was going to be leaving my job. And I wrote it and I felt it. I didn't know the how, didn't matter, but I felt it in my bones that within the year I was going to be doing this full time. So when the opportunity came, I went, well, this is what you asked for. Let's do it.
So usually I say something along the lines of, you have to surgically remove the smile off my face, but I just got really emotional because, as we said in the beginning, like how similar we are and like that connection. I also, and I didn't even know this about you until you just said it, I was journaling in 2019, like I always journal, but specifically, like as we get to New Year's Eve, I like to make a special journal, just like a little bit of reflection on the previous year, but most importantly, like what's to come in the following year. And I had no idea what was going to come in 2020. I owned my business and I was going about it. I was going through the motions, working hard, but not really fulfilled. But I labeled the journal entry for New Year's Eve 2019 going into 2020. I called it The Rise. And I didn't know what was going to rise, but I knew that I was going to change my life and do something different and fun. My passion, my purpose to fill my destiny. To hear you just say the same thing is absolutely nuts.
That for me was the change. That was the change. And it is funny. I pretty much journaled almost every day in 2019 that I was going to be changing. It was, change was coming.
Yeah. And I'll even say this too. My brother Mark, who's my best friend in the world, he sent me a screenshot of a text that I sent him like January 2nd, 2020. I was just being like, I want you to hold me accountable for this, but I'm going to change my life this year. I'm going to do something a little bit different. And, you know, I'm going to make a big impact on the world. I had no idea what I was going to do. But just like you just said, you kind of have to be in that frame of mind of abundant and just like be open to the universe so that the stars can align like it did for both of us.
That's exactly what it is. You have to create space. And this is, space is one of the scariest things for a lot of people to create. I know, I understand, but you have to create space so that there's room for something else. And I've always been a like work hard, put your head down, dig in, but I didn't leave a lot of space. And it wasn't until I was forced space in a lot of different ways last year that now I'm like, okay, where else can I create space? What other magic can come in when I do that? And once you do that and you're open to receiving, you can see so many other opportunities. So I think much like what you're saying for yourself, I couldn't agree more. I think now you can communicate that with your clients on such a level because you did it. You walked it. You've been through that. You can, you know, you have to trust that process. You've got to create space if you really do choose to lead that fulfilled life.
So true and just so accurate. And here's the thing. Like when I originally left Wall Street, which was like I was leaving that story behind and I started the new thing, which I still have, but I was unfulfilled doing it. I wasn't passionate about it. It took me a couple of years and my rock bottom, so to speak, because I think everyone has a moment where like, you know, they just feel like they need to do something different. For me, it was probably a year or two ago and I was just not happy. And I wasn't at the point where I was ready to make that big drastic shift until, you know, the very beginning of 2020, like we just said, we were journaling and stuff. And that's that's definitely why it took me 2 years to kind of be in a little bit of, I don't want to say a rut, but like I wasn't my best self. I wasn't waking up excited every day. I'm just going to be straight up. And you know, I needed to really make that shift and put it out there that, no, I want something more. I'm destined for more. I want to help people. I want to make an impact. So special and so valuable to the audience that you just acknowledge that, Marsha.
Absolutely.
When did you know that when you did become Marsha 2.0 and here you are on your way, like when did it hit? And you're like, wow, I am aligned. I'm living in my vision. I'm leaning into this. I'm living with purpose. And this is what I'm supposed to do.
I think it was really early in when I made the shift last year. And I remember being in a coaching group. I love, much like you, like I work with one-on-one clients, but I do like the groups and coaching in that group. And all of a sudden I could feel myself one day with this energy and this excitement. And I'm like, I think this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. It just felt like that was where I was supposed to be.
How long were you kind of having that weight on you, like that heaviness that you knew like you needed to do something different, but ultimately, obviously, not until 2020 did you put it all together. How long were you carrying this around? How long did it take you to own your story, so to speak?
Wow. I'm going to go with between 3 and 6 years. I'm going to go with that. It was a while because my book was published in 2017. And even then, I did publish the book, but it took me a long time to really embrace that level of vulnerability and what I had shared and how deep I had gone into my story with everyone that I didn't own it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I had a book published and I still didn't own it. And when people would say to me, what is your book about? And I'm like, oh, it's a book about a mom who's dealt with some challenges. I couldn't. And I finally had to come to space. I'm like, Marsha, you got to own this. Like you have to own this. You can't ask people to step up, speak about difficult challenges, speak about their stories, build businesses, impact others. If you're not going to go first, you have to go first. And it was just a lot of that process that I had to do. And I would say in the last 2 years, I have loved what I've been doing with my podcast and with coaching that I knew that I had to step into it more. I just couldn't figure out how to make that leap. And it, like I said, it just took last year to finally go, let's do this.
And something that I spoke about with our mutual friend, Jess Glazer, was that I was actually in a tremendous amount of pain a couple of years back. Not physical pain, like emotional pain, because I was unfulfilled and I had all this built up energy and I wanted like create and do special things. And I was stuck in a position where like the walls were caving in a little bit and I just felt like I was drowning and I was having trouble like gaining clarity. You also, you were in some emotional pain, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot, actually. Yes.
It's even worse than physical pain, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
To let that go. It's like, you're so light now.
It's so light now. I mean, it's really tough, but at the same time, it was a progression that I had to go through, much like yourself, where you went through the change, knowing you weren't fulfilled, to creating what you wanted. You have to go through that process so that you can really authentically work with your clients and help them through that process because you've done it. For me, I had to come to a space of really going, okay, my story is what happened to me, but it doesn't define me. And we spend our lives stuck in these stories that we let keep us stuck in space, like in one time and space. And then we let that definition define us and we keep ourselves super small and we stunt ourselves. We completely stop ourselves from moving, growing, and using the gifts that we are meant to use. And I had to go through that so that I can share that and communicate it with clients because I had to know what it feels like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so relatable to me and so beneficial and valuable to the audience. And I know you've said before in the past, which really hits home to me also, is to let go of the shame, blame, and the guilt. And it's interesting how, like, when you go through some stuff in life, those are the type of emotions that you feel. And I could definitely relate to that. What exactly do you mean by that?
When life goes not according to plan, which is always, just so everybody, just always, and we put this meaning to what that is and we let that define us. For us as parents, we started to deal with substance abuse and it was a level that I just couldn't even describe to anyone. And out of where I am now, I wouldn't be where I am now if I hadn't gone through some of the worst experiences of my life. I just wouldn't. So it's difficult, but if we put all this meaning into the things that aren't going, whatever we quote as quote unquote right in our life, if we give that so much meaning that we keep ourselves stuck, I was basing my did I fail as a human, as a mom, as a person, based on how things were going in my own life. And I had to completely separate that and literally just get to a space of owning my story, owning my part in my story, and taking full responsibility for myself, because that's what everyone had to do in our situation. It's what everyone has to do. I had to go through that in order to know that this is me owning my story and then empowering my kids to do exactly the same. So as difficult and heartbreaking and honestly some of the most brutal experiences I've ever gone through, I could never speak on them if I read it in a book. It just wouldn't happen. I can only speak on them and relate to that level of pain and shame because I lived it. And that's the thing is that I believe if we really want to make an impact in the world, it literally comes from the things that we've learned, the stories that we've lived through, the experiences that we've had. The problem is we spend our life hiding from it and hope to God no one knows anything about it, when really our superpowers as to who we can be, the most impactful person, lie right in those experiences.
Every time you speak, it just hits home and like strikes a chord. And I love that about you. And I should have brought my tissues here today.
Me and me both.
I know. Because when we speak, like I take myself back to those times. And now I'm sure that you can agree with this. I feel so liberated and free of the shackles that weighed us down. And to just own your story as opposed to let it own you, it changes everything.
That's literally what it is. The shackles, if you are listening and you are wearing the shackles, please know that you have put the shackles on yourself. And that is something that you can change by learning to own the story. And it just became such a mantra for me. I mean, my entire platform is own your choices, like own your life, own your story. Everything I do is about ownership. But I had to use those words to help myself shift my thinking. Like that was, they became my mantras years ago in the fact that that's not my choice. Own my choices. Own my choices. Like just own what your choices are. Take responsibility for yourself. And I have to repeat those over and over and over until I could get to the space of understanding that if I don't own this story, it owns me. And if it owns me, it controls me. And when it controls me, it keeps me small. And that is me giving the power to a story and not giving the power to me.
And for the audience that's listening, you might be asking yourself, well, that all sounds great, but like, how do I do that? How do I own the story? And I'll just give a quick technique and tactic. You can change what you associate pain and pleasure to. So a story that, you know, shaped you and used to weigh you down and you used to kind of want to hide from it, all of a sudden you change like the signals that are going to your brain and that you look at it, you shift your perspective, literally tilt your head physically and look at it from a different angle. And it's like, wait a minute, did that destroy me or did that create me? And now you are the 2.0 version of yourself. So you can change what you associate pain and pleasure to. You decide that. The emotion, you decide. And you can change how you look at your story and you can embody it and you can embrace it. That's a great way to change your outlook on your past so that you can obviously fly in the present.
100%.
And also, you said something along the lines of some people haven't given their story a voice yet. I have an idea in my head of what you mean by that, but I first want to exactly understand what you mean by that.
By giving them a voice is really looking at like what lessons did we learn? What did it teach us? How did it make me be who I am? Like I wouldn't be who I am now if I did not go through those experiences. And we cannot love ourselves. Let's talk about self-love for a second. We cannot love ourselves and hate everything that made us who we are. We just can't. It's not possible. So when I talk to people, and I mean, I have clients who have had atrocious things happen to them. It's really difficult to turn and love a situation that was really, you know, catastrophic and challenging in levels. But we can change the meaning that we give it. And I have clients who have lost children who literally look at it and go, now every relationship I have in my life is heightened because I've learned to love on a completely different level because I know nothing is promised. So yes, we can look at our stories in a number of different ways. But by really dissecting it and really coming to terms with what has it taught me? What lessons did I learn? How did it make me who I am? We start to give our story a voice. And when we use our voice with our stories, we actually then can reach the people we're meant to reach. We can become who we're meant to become. We can impact others. Others can see us, right? They can see us because all of a sudden we are speaking up. And some people say, but that's too hard to speak up and be vulnerable and share. It's because you're trying to get to the 2.0 version without putting a foot in at the 0.01 version. Like you have to start. And when the more you use your voice, the more you're going to learn how to trust it. And you're going to build some courage. You're going to build that confidence. So you give your story a voice. So now I can look at it. And I remember a counselor saying to me, what if this story happened to you because you're meant to do something with it? And I can tell you that was the pivoting point for me to go, I can see the story differently now. All of a sudden I can see it differently and I can take and put purpose to some of the most painful experiences of my life. It changed everything. It really literally changed everything. Like the way you look at it, that's how it changes. It's whatever meaning you give it. So that's the voice. That's what I mean is that your story now has a voice and you can share it. And now I can use that to impact other people and help other people and be that source of support that was never there when I first started down this journey because nobody wanted to talk about the difficult things in life. People still don't want to, but they really didn't want to many years ago.
One of the other reasons besides the obvious why I love talking and chatting, catching up and collaborating with you is because you challenge me personally and you helped me, whether you know it or not, be more vulnerable and express that and own it and embrace it. And the truth of the matter is from the outside perspective, who do people relate to more? Like the Supermans of the world who are flawless or like the people that have a past that have fallen and bounced up and have life experience? That's who other people find really. I know for me personally, like whenever I sharpen the axe, people that inspire me, I always love a good comeback story or I love someone that's been through some stuff. Like that's what gets me. So thank you for helping me embrace my vulnerability. And on top of that, I just wanted to ask you, do you ever have like second guessing yourself or any type of moment of weakness where like you're not sure how vulnerable you should be? Or are you at the point right now, Moshe 2.0, where like you're an open book completely?
That's a great question, because I went through an experience last year at the end of the year. In October, I had back surgery, and it was a really scary time, to be completely honest. And I decided not to share it with everyone for the beginning. Like, I just decided most people didn't have a clue what was going on, because my gut told me I wasn't ready to share it yet. And that's the thing about vulnerability. It doesn't mean that you have to share everything with the world, like the world, social media world. But with a number of my friends, close friends, I was very open that I was struggling, that this is what was going on. So I have my people. I have my people that I'm vulnerable with. It might not be the entire world, but I also look at it that we can either teach from our wounds or our scars. It is a lot easier to teach from our scars because we've healed, right? The stories that I shared, when I really go back in time, I mean, some of those stories are 5 or 6 years old. But to teach from our scars is really hard when we are still learning. So I trusted my gut when I really thought about it. I was like, do I want to share it yet? And I wasn't ready. And I'm really grateful that I didn't, because as I went through the experience, there were many points during the recovery in the hospital that were very scary, and I needed that energy for me. So I think we have to honor and ask ourselves the hard questions and say, do we need to share everything? We don't have to share everything. We don't. But there comes a point in time, and it was about a month later, that I was like, no, I'm ready. I'm ready. And I decided to share from that space. And even then, you know, you're going to get people who aren't going to agree with you. They're going to have things to say. People always have opinions. So if you're not sure of who you are and really comfortable and like confident in that, then be really careful how you open yourself up vulnerably to people, because you will do it with the wrong people in the beginning because you don't know. Or maybe you're not surrounding yourself with the people who are the best ones to support you. I did that. I didn't know. And then I started to share with people and I was like, oh, wait, no, everything I'm telling them is ending up everywhere else. And this is not what vulnerability is. That's not what that is. That's like, so it's really trusting and understanding. I am vulnerable about a lot of it. And I think that for some people, they still don't see it, or they think that it's all easy for me because I am vulnerable. And I'm like, no, it's not easy. It's never easy. It's always a choice. It's always a choice, but it's never easy.
Yeah, I love that. And something you just touched upon is who you share it with. And I kind of want to segue into this, because you also talk about your tribe and like, you know, building the right ecosystem. And I like to say who's on your bus and so forth. So I want to ask you, like, since you've really evolved and grown and owned your story and became Moshe 2.0, have you severed or lost some relationships that you possibly never thought that you would, but like you just have to because you're flying now?
Yeah, I'm going to honestly, yes. And this is the case. I love everyone who has crossed my path. I really do. And I dedicated my book was to the people who stayed, the people who left, because everybody played a role in who I became now. So yeah, my tribe has completely reinvented itself. And that is because I'm also very different, and that's going to happen. So a lot of times it's hard for people to embrace change because they're thinking, well, how is everybody going to come with me? Well, it's not my job to take anyone with me. They decide to or not. I decided I wanted something more for my life. I like to say it that when we are dealing with shame stories, and we all have them, by the way, we carry this armor around with us because we think we're protecting ourselves, but we're trying to prevent pain, which we can never do. And we end up keeping our world super, super small as we start to get like smaller and smaller underneath this armor. And all of a sudden your world is very small, and you still have your problems. You have changed your problems. And that was when I was like, this is so not working. The armor is so heavy. I can't move. I can't live like this. And I like to say it that like literally when I put my armor down is when I found my army. I 100% that like all of a sudden people were there. Now that's part vulnerability. And we also have to be willing to receive support. We have to be willing to allow people to see us. We have to be willing to accept that love, worthiness, support from other people. And that took time. That takes time to do. But anybody who's listening, no matter where you're at, like you're all more than worthy. You're here. You're more than worthy.
100%. And that's, I made a video called You Are Worthy one time. It's just me going on one of my Craig rants, but like all about how you are worthy. You do deserve to live the life you desire and so forth. And it ended up being such a big hit. And because I think that is, that's something that so many people can relate to. It really does hit home.
Absolutely. It is definitely a belief shift and system. And I mean, through that process also comes things like boundaries. You have to be clear on what you're okay with and who you spend that time and energy with. And if you look at your life and you have, you know, two or three people who really aren't bringing the best out in you, or maybe you're not the best connection, or you don't see them in the life that you're trying to create, when you walk away, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with them. I like to say it's just an ownership thing. It's that I choose to be around this. It has nothing to do with this person. It's just not what I choose to be around. And when you put that ownership piece, there's no finger pointing. There's just owning what you want to have in your life.
And I have to ask you, just because this is something I could relate to in regards to the relationships that maybe you grew out of or you had to sever to get to where you are today. Do you feel like some of the relationships that you did sever in order for you to really grow and fly, some of those people might resent you because of your growth and progress?
Yes, I'm going to say with yes. They either do resent or they see it in a very different light, and I can't control how they see it. See, here's the thing. When you go through a really difficult, and I've said this a few times, and there's, again, no hard feelings with anybody, but when you're living the story that we were living, it was upsetting for a lot of people because it was too scary for them and it hit too close to home. If it could happen to us, and we were parents who were, you know, we didn't fit. I hate to even say this, but we didn't fit what you would class as a stereotype to deal with this, which was all the more reason for me to stand up and speak. That was actually became a fuel, is the fact that I didn't look like your stereotype. So all the more reason to share it, because I needed to let people know that this was impacting thousands and thousands of families, not just certain families. And when that happens and you start to grow and change, sometimes people would sit back and resent it or not agree with what I was doing whatsoever. I had many, many people say openly like that you are building a business off of something that is painful. Like that is horrible. And I'm just like, I can't control your opinion. Thanks for your opinion, but I know that I'm here to impact more people, and that's who I'm focused on. So when I teach a lot of my clients, like how to embrace vulnerability and how to share that story, I tell them, you're going to rock the boat. You're going to rock the boat. There are going to be people that won't agree with you, people that don't understand, but you're not here sharing that message for them. That's not who you're sharing it for. You are sharing it for the person who's been searching on Google for the last year for answers, praying that you will speak up. That's who you're sharing it for. And when you do that, you will heal parts of yourself. You will see that your story had a much bigger purpose than what you ever imagined, and focus forward. Don't focus back, and do it detached with love, like literally detached with love. No resentment. Because even if I carry resentment for things, I'm still carrying it. It's still toxic. So it's, wow. There's no space for that.
That is gold, and that's just something that I can really relate to, and I know for a fact that the audience will too. And no matter what you do, especially when you take a real shot at life and you go out there and pursue your passion and most importantly your purpose, there will be people who don't agree with your message. What's the expression? You can't throw stones at every dog that barks.
No, you cannot.
You know,
no, you cannot.
You'll never get to second base. You'll just remain on first. So you know you're doing the right thing for the right reasons, and you just have to stick to that vision, stay in your lane, so to speak. There's always going to be someone. The only time there's not someone who disagrees with what you're doing is if you're not really doing much and you're just coasting.
So, and if you're not fulfilled, like, here's the thing. Yes, it's scary to take those steps, but if you're choosing to stay stuck in a spot and you're not fulfilled because of fear, what everyone else is going to say around you, that is still a choice. Like that is still a choice. It's hard. I always get to say you get to choose your heart, staying stuck or moving forward. It's all scary. It's all hard. You get to choose which one you want.
I'm very selective and strict when using any types of products, period. However, the CLS experience is all about elevating your state and getting the mind right, as it is our biggest asset in life. Something I've incorporated into my life is CBD, specifically sweat CBD. Just like this podcast, Sweat CBD is all about enhancing your state, designed to optimize your physical and mental well-being. I personally love their products, specifically the oil and the gummies. I've tried a few different CBD brands and products, and to me, this is the most natural feeling. I love their products and what the brand stands for. The founder of Sweat CBD is a dear friend of mine, and she's offering the entire audience, all the listeners, CLS Family and Universe, a special promo code. Enter CLSCBD at SweatCBD.com. Enjoy. I love you all.
Something that I teach my clients a lot, and it's really the catalyst for propelling me to begin Cultivate Lasting Symphony, is this, is I was so unfulfilled and so unhappy that the thought of starting CLS, putting out content, and doing what I'm doing now, although scary at first, the thought of continuing down the path I was going and waking up 6 months, God forbid, 6 years later on the same path, unfulfilled, and not leaving a mark on this world, not making an impact. That was terrifying to me. And I got to the point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so once you realize that, then you just put together a strategy and you take that shot. But there's so many people out there, Marsha, especially like with my clients, when I begin with them in the early stages, they're scared to do something epic or find that passion, or maybe they have it, but they're scared to pursue it. But how important is it for everybody to understand, like on the deepest level, that the scariest thing you can do is not take that shot?
It is the scariest thing you can do. And when you are, if you really think about it, if you take that step and something doesn't work and you end up, like, what options do you have? Do you go back to what your old job was? And maybe you do. But if you're already living your worst case scenario, then, oh God, you got to try. Like, I just didn't want, I think one thing that has always helped me is I don't always know the answers or the right decisions to make, but I ask myself different questions. And when you can ask yourself different questions, you can see things differently. So if you ask questions about why is this happening, this isn't fair, those are all victim questions. You don't move when you stay in a victim mentality. And I'm not like putting it down because I lived there for a really long time. So victim questions keep you stuck. But when you start to ask different questions, you can start to see things differently. Like, what can I do next? What would it look like? How would this feel? And if you really ask yourself, if you're not living in any of that fulfillment, or you're just, you don't even know what you want, but you know what you don't want, then take a step and try. Like, literally take a step and try. Because when you create space and you ask different questions and you get into action, some of the most incredible people can cross your path. I love sitting at the end of the year and looking at who did I not know a year ago at this time. And I mean, like, here we are, conversation. I love everything that you do and what you put out into the world, but like, we didn't know each other. So this is the thing. When you open doors and create space, there are so many people in the world that can come through.
What a great analogy, and what a great perspective for even people that, like, are, you know, a lot of times people are hesitant to get a coach or get a mentor or do that. And then just what Marsha just said, like, receive that into your soul. Take a shot, open a door, put yourself out there. You never know who or what you might meet. And the possibilities are endless. But if you don't take that shot, you'll never know. And that's got to be in your head the most painful thing.
Yes, it is. It just, you have to decide that. And you're worthy. You're worthy of creating that change. You absolutely are.
And for the audience, let me just rephrase what Marsha just said. You are worthy. No matter what you're going through, what you've been through, you are worthy of living the life you desire, of showing the world the 2.0 version of yourself, for living your best life. It's never too late, and you are worthy. And if somebody can just get that out of this episode, then changes everything for them. I'm so happy to use that word.
I love that. Thank you. I love the passion that you speak with. So I love that.
Thank you, Marsha. Another thing that I want to talk about is another thing that you challenged me with, and it's something now that's part of my vocabulary. And I have a lot of like Craigisms, like I say these words, and everyone's like, where'd you get that from? But this one, I'm pretty sure I got from you. And it's all about showing up. And I know you talk about like showing up messy and stuff like that. And I always articulated like, just get up there and go, no matter how you're feeling. But you using the word show up, I just think it hits home. It's cool. It sounds nice. And it's so accurate. And when you say show up messy, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're basically just saying it's never going to be the perfect timing. The stars are never going to align totally for you. You just have to show up, put yourself out there, and just give it a shot.
Exactly. You will never have it figured out. You have to embrace messy action. I mean, I was a perfectionist. When I look back to how I used to be, I have so many friends who know me that might know me from earlier days to now. They're like, you are so different. I'm like, I know. Thank God. Like, thank God. Because honestly, you have to be able to embrace that messy action. That's actually when you learn a lot about yourself. You really start to ask the questions and learn a lot about yourself, and you have to do that. But I can say honestly that when you show up, some of the most beautiful people will be there, and they might be there. It's like they're like one doorway away, but they can't see you because you're not showing up in your own life. I even used this years ago, but with my book, but I still use the analogy in that we spend our life as humans in this hallway with all of these doors, and we stand and look at these doors and try and figure out which is the best door. Which one should I open? Which one's perfect? What's this? What's that? And there, some people never open a door. They just literally stand in the hallway. And that's sad. I don't want you to do that, because there's beautiful things behind every door, and there's also crap behind every door. You're going to figure it out as you go. But the people that you can have the most impact with and who can impact your life the most are literally like one door away.
Love every single thing that you're saying, as usual, in case you didn't notice.
Oh, you're awesome.
So, Marcia, another thing that you say, which I love, is that we all have gifts inside of us. People just don't see them sometimes. And, you know, it's time to tap into them. So let me challenge you a little bit. So for the audience listening, how does someone identify or tap into their gifts if they're not 100% sure what they are?
So they can ask some of their closest friends. That might be something. I would encourage them to go into a journal dive as to what maybe, where do they feel joy? Where do they feel fulfilled? What lights them up? What do they feel if, like, I think one of the questions I asked, I just did it a week ago in this big group coaching. It's like, if I knew I could, I would. And then all of a sudden they started, like, you could see them thinking, overthinking everything. And then I gave them like 10 minutes and you could watch the people on the screen. Within about 3 or 4 sentences, all of a sudden, every single one of them was getting into something deep and they all got emotional. And I was like, oh, what's happening here? And once you get past like some of what you think it's supposed to look like, and you actually let either your future self, your soul, whatever you want to call it, really have a chance to speak, it will come out. And then your very next thought is going to be, but how? And the how's not up to you. It's actually not up to you. So you really, when you start to do that and dive in, I've seen people all of a sudden come up with, I want to speak on stages. I want to speak. I want to write a book. I want to start a podcast. I want to do this. And allowing that flow to happen will be a tap into what their gift is. And if they can't get there, some of the things that I will have them do is really go back through their stories and look through the difficult stories that they live through. Because I really honestly believe our gifts are in the most difficult things that we have lived through. We have to break them down. So a client last week said to me, everybody always tells me my heart is too big. It's just going to get squashed. It's just this. It's just that. And I'm like, why is it a bad thing that you have a big heart? What if you've been told for so long that your heart is a problem because of everyone else's opinions? What would you do with your heart if you could, and there was no barriers of anything you could do with it? All of a sudden, she started dropping out all of these incredible things that she wanted to do. And I'm like, so you've thought your big heart was actually a problem? It's your gift. It's your gift. You're just not using it that way. And you're surrounding yourself with people who are telling you it's a bad thing to have. It's not a bad thing to have. So you can, again, switch it and change the meaning of what you're giving that. But your gifts, I mean, your gifts are there. You all have them. And we all have them. We just have to find a way to dig in and ask what brings us the most fulfillment, the most like connection, what is lights us up, and where do we like to impact others? And when you can start to get to that, you will start to uncover your gifts.
And I love that. And it's so true. You really begin to identify, you know, what separates you after you've gone through some stuff, not, you know, after the wins. So that's so key, and it's so beneficial for the audience, because if you are going through something right now as we speak, or you're just rebounding from something, here's the great news. Probably just located and identified your gifts. You probably just identified, you know, what you have to offer to the world to serve and so forth, and that ultimately will fulfill you.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It just, and then what happens is your gift becomes a fuel for you to keep speaking and showing up. And then when you see and hear other people that it's impacting, it fuels you again. So for me, when I first started to share my story, I did it in really small stages. And then all of a sudden it kept getting bigger and bigger. And
sorry to interject, Marjorie. When you say stages, do you mean like literally small stages or like small like developments?
I have spoken on stages, many different stages. And when I first started sharing my story, I did it in really small venues and small, you know, small stages. And then eventually it started, there were times it was 500 times, it was more. And as I shared my story, there got to be a point where it didn't matter where I went, and somebody would come up to me and say, "That's my story. I've never told a soul." And I'm like, you've carried that shame for years. So what happened is me sharing my story helped me to heal. There's no question. It really helped me to heal because I was able to separate myself. My story is what has happened to me. I am not my story. It's just what happened to me. And so as I started to do that, I started to heal. But as I started to see the difference it was making with others, it would fuel me. And it became fuel. So when we start to use our gifts in the way that we see it having impact and helping others, like I prayed for that help years ago. Nobody spoke. It's just not what people did. So when I did that, I honestly would look at it and go, okay, then it was fuel for me to keep going. So when clients are really stuck trying to figure out what their gifts are too, the other thing I say is go back through your story. What were you looking for support for in the thickness of some of your difficult times? And then all of a sudden they're like, "Oh my God, I was praying for this kind of help." I'm like, what would it feel like if you could be that source of support for someone else? And all of a sudden you can see the light come in and it's like, oh, so when you can reach that level of fulfillment, and honestly, I promise you, when you can make your story, one of the biggest shifts I did, when you can make your story not about you and about other people, it all changes. It really all changes.
When you stop being selfish for a second, right? And like having a pity party. And I'm definitely guilty of that. Let me be clear. You know,
same.
And when you just make it about how can this that destroyed me once upon a time, how can I help someone else going through something similar not get destroyed from it? And who would know better than us because we just been through it. So we do two things with that, right? Simultaneously, we help that person and we also liberate ourselves selfishly a little bit because now we feel better about the situation and we can really take full ownership of who we are and who we're meant to be.
Yes. We have to do that. That's part of our healing. It's part of then which allows us to get to the next stage with our growth in order to step into that gift to make a bigger impact. Like it's a process. It is definitely a process, but I'll tell you, it has reached a level of fulfillment that I never planned on. I had no idea. And I also went into it very open. Like I didn't start a business. I had a podcast and a book. So none of that was, you know, revenue generating, not like that. And it wasn't until maybe year two where I had so many women saying, "But how do you share difficult stories? How do you do that?" And I'm like, "Well, you just do this and just do this." And all of a sudden it was like, "Oh, wait, now, universe, I hear you. This is what you're saying is this is what I'm supposed to do with it." So you got to be open sometimes because you're not meant to see the finish line. You're not. You have to follow what the path is taking you on. Be open to what's there. And sometimes it will actually come to you.
On my introduction episode for the CLS experience, I promised the audience this. I said that you will 100% manufacture a breakthrough listening to this show. And I'll tell you what, I just manufactured a breakthrough here chatting with you. And so self, I'm going to own that one. What we just touched upon is that when you own your story and you help someone out with the same situation, it helps us. And I never thought about it like that. But now it makes me want to even tell more about my past and stuff of that nature so that I can help people to the nitty gritty of every single detail and also free myself of any remaining pain or shackle that might exist. So thank you for helping me manufacture a breakthrough here today, Marsha. For everyone listening, when something challenges you or it looks like there's a big hurdle or an obstacle, instead of immediately having that state of defeat or, you know, why me, change your perspective a little bit and say, wait a minute, this is obviously some sort of lesson or some sort of pivotal moment in my life. Why is this happening? What can I benefit? How can I learn from this? And how can I adapt? There's always a different perspective to be taken. And obviously a shift of perspective changes the entire game, your entire life.
Everything changes. It all changes.
Marsha, with all the things that you said that when you started this and really putting yourself out there, such as the book, the podcast, and you even dove deep a little bit earlier in speaking on stages to, you know, smaller crowds and whatnot. What was the scariest for you at the time? Like, when did you really like take that leap and you're like, okay, I'm really doing this. I'm really going to tell people my story on this type of platform. Was it the book, the podcast, speaking? Which one was it for you that really helped you turn the corner and embrace Marsha 2.0?
Well, this is interesting because it's before the book. And I was sharing on very small stages. Here's the thing. I was asking for a lot of help and support. I was. But to the outside world, I was the I'm fine person. I'm fine. Like, I'm the fighter. I can figure this out. I'll do it my own. And I lived like that for a long time. But as I started to share, and I was really working with counselors, and I was helping at the schools, and I was speaking with parents, and we were doing things like this, I remember I got a message from our CBC radio asking if they could do an interview. And I was like, oh, how'd they find out about me? And so it was like a Thursday. And they said, we're just going to do the interview. And so I did it on the Thursday afternoon. And they said, could you be at the station for Friday morning at 7? And I said, sure, okay. But in my head, I'm thinking, nobody really listens to CBC radio. It was so wrong, which is a blessing, right? It's a blessing. So a lot of people really kind of knew that something was going on with us and our life, but I didn't tell them and I didn't ask for help because I was still in that fighter mode and I'm going to do it myself. Stepping into that space and answering those questions live on radio, when it was done, I remember walking out and my phone absolutely blew up and I was like, okay, there was one way to tell the world that there was a lot going on. And that was a turning point. I honestly felt this level of freedom that I was like, okay, I don't need to pretend anymore because it's out there. The words are out there. The message is out there. So that was a really big turning point. My next deep level came with my book. It was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was very hard, but here's the thing, your story, and I had to do this myself, the story, when I wrote the book, I wrote it with the intention that I wanted it to help people, even if they had never walked in my shoes. Right? So people think that, oh my gosh, I don't want to talk about my story over and over. You actually don't have to. But what connects us as humans is when we share who we are, like we share our pain, our emotions, all of those things, and not from a victim point, but share that connects us to people. So when I got to that space, I wrote that book with the intention of really helping people, even if they'd never walked in my shoes. That became a real turning point, but it was a real vulnerability hangover to just like let that out into the world. But I'm so grateful that I went through that process because I can really relate and understand that when I'm coaching women who are building blogs, writing books, and standing on stages and sharing, I'm like, yeah, those feelings that you're feeling of doubt and frustration and scared and all of those things, they're normal. It's all normal. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's all normal. Again, I had to walk through those paths in order to be able to share it authentically.
Yeah, and it's always nice to say, take advice from someone. But I know for me, and it sounds like for you too, the way our personalities, the way we're wired, you have to go through it.
You have to. And if you are working with, I mean, you mentioned it earlier about having a coach. I mean, we all have coaches. We all have mentors because like this is, I will never do this on my own again. That's just not going to happen. And so when you do that and you connect and you ask for that support, you open up the doors of all of the other things that are possible, really, like just by reaching out and connecting and asking for support.
So because a big part of your story and your vulnerability, which is beautiful, has to do with other people than just besides you, your family, your kids, you know, and your family and so forth. How did they react and how did they respond when you said that you were going to tell your story and it also included privacy in regards to them as well?
It's a great question. And years ago, I sat through a conference with Lisa Nichols, and she spoke, and she's fantastic, by the way. And she spoke to my soul. I had a number of mentors at that time who really spoke to me. And what happens is that two things. You should be able to share a story. And if it really, the thing about vulnerability is it is your story. It's not someone else's story. So my point was that I wanted to share, like, what did I experience myself, not anyone else. And so you have to be able to do that. You have to be able to share it as if the people you are speaking about are in the room. And if you cannot do that, that's not authentic. And if you can't do it, the third thing is that if you can't do it without absolutely falling apart, that's okay too. Maybe you're not meant to share it. Maybe you're not meant to get to that space of sharing that. And that is okay. Like, you're not failing. So you have to be able to share it as if they're in the room. You have to be able to share it and from your own perspective. And I know I would love to say that when I came to a space of deciding that I was going to write a book, that everybody was supportive, but that is just not true. It's just not true. I mean, I won't lie to you. And most people weren't supportive and didn't understand, including family. And I knew in my gut, my intention was to help other people and to help heal myself. And I wrote it from that space the whole time. So when people read it, they were like, oh, like, it's about you. And I'm like, yeah, that's what vulnerability is it's me. I mean, I shared parts of myself that I hadn't shared with even some of my closest friends. So I really let it all out. And that's what that is that you have to come to that space of being willing to share yourself, not blaming, right? Like, this is ownership. We're back to ownership. This is you owning who you are, what you've, like, how you live, choices that you made, and including mistakes and things that went wrong. But if you're in a space of blame, you can't find ownership, because blame and ownership are the complete opposite ends of the spectrum. So that's really, you have to be able to move through that space. So it is challenging to share it when it comes to other people. But I mean, anybody who reads the beginning and my ending of my book, I mean, I dedicate my life to my kids. Like, my life, like, they've taught me everything. They've literally taught me everything. And my relationships are better. My relationships with them, with everyone else are so much better, because they have been my best teachers, my absolute best teachers.
I love that. And it's so good that they're so supportive, and obviously they love you and they trust you, and to give you that platform to speak freely, obviously it's done wonders for the whole family and so forth.
Yes, it was very, I remember at one point my husband said to me, okay, if we are in a space where we are in a better stage, do you still want to pursue this? And I'm like, yes. And he said, okay, then you do what you need to do. Like, do what you need to do. And I know for them, it was hard in the beginning, because it was almost this fear. And for immediate family, that I was going to glorify things. And I said, no, that's not my intention. I was so clear on my intention of what I was doing. So I stayed true to that vision. And it wasn't until some of the messages started to come in, and and I still get messages to this day. Don't ask me why. For 3.5 years, every month I get paid for downloads in Japan. I don't know why. Like, we do not know where our story is going to go. Every single month I get paid. I'm like, oh, look, Japan again. So we don't know where it's going to go. And even when it comes to that space, our story can reach places that we could never imagine. So I knew that in my gut. And in the beginning, when they weren't sure, I remember my husband taking, like, messages I've been receiving. He's like, you have to understand, mom is doing some really good things with this. And that's when it got to the point, it's like, oh, you're not trying to hurt us. Because it was really ugly for a long time. It really was ugly. We were not in a good space. So I think there was some fear that I was going to be speaking from a space of resentment and anger, but I had let go of all that by then. Like, you have to be able to move through those emotions first before you can do something with your story.
I got to say this. I love how you personally made the word ugly appear beautiful to me.
I appreciate that. It was such a journey, but I know in my heart, like, I wish I could have learned these lessons any other way, but there's just no book I can read it in. That's not how it works. And I embrace and know that this story happened for me to push me in this direction. And I mean, I'm grateful for all of the lessons that I learned, all of them.
You have no idea how much I love you. Every single time we speak.
I'm so grateful just like, for you. Honestly, adore you. So grateful.
And even what I just said for the audience, the ugliest part of your story can actually be the most beautiful with a change of perspective. And as Marsha loves to say, ownership of it. Those two things. And all of a sudden it went from being ugly and shameful to now embracing it and allowing that to be the spark that lights your fire to do great things.
I appreciate you saying that. And can I add one thing just that maybe will resonate with people is I took the word ownership for myself because I wasn't owning anything in my own life. Like I was resentful for them, for where life was at. I blamed everyone else. There was no ownership whatsoever. And I had to come to a space of taking ownership for myself. And that was when I really started to understand that I had choices in how I show up. I have choices in what I do. And living by that example is literally what all of us have to do. Like every single one of us, no matter what our story is, because there are people out there who have lived through unbelievable circumstances who are doing incredible things with their stories. So it's whatever meaning we attach it and what perspective we have for what has happened to us.
Marsha, and I've asked you this before, but maybe things have changed, or let the audience hear on a grander scale. So for me, I'm always sharpening the axe. I'm always inspiring myself. I always have about 7 journals wide open on my dining room table for different reasons. And I'll go back to them to either read an excerpt or to write something in it at all times. I love journaling. It's a big part of my life. It always has been. And it's how I started CLS is attributed to a lot of the journaling and sharpening the axe for 10 years of just accumulating all this knowledge and experience and shaping myself. So I think it's so special. And anyone out there that has trouble journaling or doesn't know where to start, just do it. Just go for it. Show up messy, as Marsha would just like to say. Just do it. But I have to ask you, who are some people that you sharpen the axe to? Who inspires you? Who are people that you look to for excess inspiration to kind of get on fire and get the creative juices going and so forth?
Oh, that's so good. I continuously put myself into rooms where I am not the smartest person. Put myself into rooms where I force myself to learn. And that is challenging myself on different levels. This year, I am diving into a lot of NLP work. And I'm doing that, to be honest, I'm doing it for myself. I know my clients will benefit, but I'm doing it for myself to really work on some of the deep things some of the deep traumas that I have gone through and really start to understand that. So I'm really diving into some NLP work. I am in a few different masterminds that I am with right now. I follow and have had a number of different mentors over the years. I mean, Jess, I always shout her out. She's like literally has been somebody I have watched firsthand. Jess was actually in the room. Jess Glazer was in the room of the very first time I shared my story ever. It was in Boston in a room of like, I'm going to say maybe 20 people. And it was really scary. It was the first time I ever shared it. I was in a coaching group and she was there. That's how we connected. So it's amazing when you really start to open yourself up, how many people you can come across. So I'm very open and willing to learn and be challenged for my own thinking because I want to get better. I want to keep getting better. And I do want to sharpen the axe because I don't ever have it all figured out, like ever. The second I have it all figured out, I'm behind. I've already lost.
And neuro-linguistic programming was a big foundation for me after college, when I was lost in the wilderness with no compass, as I like to say, when I rebuilt myself, my DNA, my confidence, and helped spark, you know, that fire to ultimately become Craig 2.0. It's because I studied NLP for years, and it's a big piece of the program that I teach now with my clients. Just curious, what kind of NLP, like where are you diving deep right now into that? Is there a specific book or where'd you get started with that?
So I'm doing it with Rachel Joy from Transcend Academy, and we are really diving into a lot of the basics of NLP right now, and then into tapping, and then into like a whole bunch of different principles that we are doing. So yes, there's definitely some certifications that I'll be doing as I'm diving into it. It's definitely a lot of work, but it's funny because I'm listening to some of, I didn't know what it was called. I have called a lot of what I do in certain ways. So like one of the number one principles, like cause and effect, like you are literally like, it's not about what has happened to you. It's like, where are you taking responsibility for yourself? So I've never called it certain things. It's just that's what I've done with it. So I am doing that. I am doing that, like I said, for myself originally. I really want to just dive and really challenge myself to learn more. I would love, I mean, I teach women and men, but how to own their stories and build a business from their stories, like really get down to the lessons that they've learned. But I really also feel called to dive into like understanding and helping people with trauma. Like how to, so there's going to be something there that I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but there's something that is there because one of my clients said it's like a superpower is the fact that I can take that story and really help you to separate like what's the story and where are you and see what that has done. And that can help us heal from our traumas. So I can see that there's something else that's there. I don't have a clue where it's going to go, but I'm very open to it.
And I'm so excited for you personally on that journey because I know what NLP did for me. And it's such an unbelievable technology. And most of the world doesn't know about it. It's not familiar. But even just the concepts that we discussed on this episode today, such as changing your frame and what you associate pain and pleasure to, that's something that I learned in NLP. And that's huge. Because all of a sudden, something that might have been a crutch or that was holding you back, now all of a sudden you look at the same thing with a different perspective. It's not what you look at, it's what you see, right? And then everything changes just like that. And one of the big things about NLP that got me from the beginning was that people think change takes so long. It really doesn't. A reprogramming of your mindset is pretty simple.
And no, that's such a great point because people say, you know, did it happen overnight? It's so funny because it didn't happen overnight, but it did happen quickly. Like once I hit a wall or a point where I was like, I don't want to live this way anymore. Like this is not how I want to live anymore. How I saw the world changed and it changed really fast. It really changed fast. So it can, change can happen fast when you decide that you no longer want to stay in the space that you're in. That's a choice. So I was trying to empower clients that it's like, I understand that that is difficult, but staying stuck is a choice. Moving is a choice. Which one do you want? You know what this one feels like. You've lived here for a really long time. What could this one feel like? What if this felt something? And all of a sudden you start to see the what ifs and the perspective and it's like, well, I got to try. And I'm like, yeah, try. Like all of a sudden it changes.
And I love you, obviously, in case you didn't hear it enough in this episode. We'll wrap it up with a couple last things. 2020 for me was the rise. And for you, getting out of 2019 on your way to 20 was also something symbolic and similar to you. What's the mantra for Marsha for 2021?
Oh, it is flow and ease. It is literally flow and ease. If it does not something that I can flow with and it's easy and I know it is in alignment, it's not this year. That is the, I have spent my life being the fighter and pusher. And this year is all about what flows and what's easy. Because I really want to tap into what that feels like and honor it and give that the priority this year.
And so in other words, you know, for the audience, what doesn't serve you, goodbye.
Goodbye. It's actually really, and I'm not even going to allow myself to think anything more of that. When I went through last year and all the changes that I went through and then coming through like back surgery with 2 rods, 6 screws, titanium cubes, like bone graft, it was such a big thing to go through, being the pusher had to go. Like it literally had to go. I had to really learn to listen and get in tune with what do I need? What do I need? Don't judge it. Don't judge it. What do I need today? And I have gotten so much better at giving myself that space. And I've seen my business grow in ways that it never did when I pushed. So it's like, okay, what if this year is about flow and ease? If it's in alignment, it will fly. If it's not, no judgment, it's not going to happen. And it's okay. Because we decided to launch our podcast and a second podcast, and we just put it in the works in the last few months. And it was like, okay, I think this is going to work and we'll make it go. So it doesn't mean that we don't work hard. It's just that when it is in alignment, it happens. It just happens.
I'm going to model some of that myself for 2021 because it's so true. And look, not to sound too deep or spiritual, but if the pandemic taught us anything, it's just how unpredictable and short life could be. So you got to make every second count. And
absolutely.
What else does that mean? If the energy doesn't feel right, if you're not aligned, if you feel that, goodbye. And just stick to what you gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy, but it's simple.
It's so simple. It's so simple. I think the thing is that as humans, we judge ourselves. Well, first off, we judge ourselves more than anyone's ever going to judge us. So let's be real. We judge ourselves in the sense that we look at it and think, like, why would I let that opportunity go? I actually will get to a space that if somebody asks me to do something, I'm like, is it a hell yes? I'm like, I'm like, nope, it's not. Don't judge that I'm missing out on something. If my gut is saying, don't do it right now, listen to that because it's giving me that voice for a reason. The more in tune I get to those parts of myself, I just feel like the more in alignment I am, the more the right people find me, the more the things line up, the easier it is, the more I can use my gifts. I mean, it's a beautiful way to live. And I didn't live most of my life that way. I was the pusher and just keep going. Don't listen. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter because that's not what you do. And it's not quitting. It's like choosing what is the best fit for you.
So many nuggets in this episode. It's crazy. And the funny part is I could do this all day with you.
I could do this all day. I love this.
Where can the audience find you, Marcia? Where do you hang out the most?
I think I hang out between Facebook and Instagram and Instagram stories. I hang out there a lot and obviously on Zoom a lot lately, but mostly on Instagram stories. And my Facebook's really simple. It's MarciaVanW.com.
But what about the two podcasts?
Oh, good Lord. My two podcasts. Sorry. Two podcasts. My podcast, Own Your Choices, Own Your Life. We just passed episode 200. We have 3 episodes a week of that. And then we just launched a second podcast and it's called Everybody Holds a Story. Because again, we're getting into the trauma of what our body holds onto and how do we change our story right down from the cellular level. So we really talk about people who've come through unbelievable stories physically and what they're doing with it. That just launched today and it is producing 1 episode a week. And that's, again, it's going to become a different platform all on its own.
I love that. And I couldn't be more excited for you to watch it fly and obviously to tune in. And I know that the audience will just have another outlet and so much more value to be able to consume from you. So I think that's really special.
Thank you. And thank you for the reminder.
Of course. And I want to just say this, Marcia, you don't shy away from your struggles as they've shaped you. And that is something I find so relatable and liberating in the way that you own your story and that you challenge me. I want you to know that you are the definition of perseverance, grit, and heart. From your journey of dealing with the kids and the substance abuse to owning your story and just sharing it with the world. I could personally guarantee that your best is yet to come. You're someone I admire, I appreciate, I love very much. And in my personal opinion, you have some of the best content that planet Earth has to offer. So the audience that's listening, should you check out Marcia's stuff and what she has going on, as she just said, hell yes, you should. I love you so much. This will definitely not be the last time we collaborate.
It definitely will not. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Honestly, for just being in my life, for always cheering me on, for sharing and collaborating. I'm so, so, so grateful for you.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.